Hallelujah. So we want to thank God for bringing us together. Hallelujah. So I want to continue something that I was taking last Friday, because that is something that needs to be preached or taught completely. I want to continue that topic. And any of you remember what we were hearing last Friday? Last Friday, we saw the caves. Hallelujah. And I told you how the rising of an army of Israel through the servant David were trained and equipped in the caves of Adullam and En Gedi. Hallelujah. Then we saw about Elijah, who went to the cave in Horeb, and there God met him. So I told you that before God gives, if you are a man, if you are a woman, that God is considering you to entrust the responsibility of nations. Hallelujah. From the time of the beginning in the book of Genesis, whoever God chooses, God wants to make that person a blessing to the nations. God chose Abraham, and he said that I will make you a father of many nations. So if God considers your life, if God considers you and looks at you and considers you as a candidate for the blessing and for dominating the nations of the earth through his power to bring his kingdom for the glory of his name, before he gives you that platform, he will give you a platform in the caves, hidden from men. Hallelujah. And there in the caves, what he will do to you is, he will kill your desires. He will kill the desires of your flesh and whatever idols you have in your heart about the platform, about a ministry, about how you will be used by God, that have now become idols in your heart. Oh, I want to be big, this big man. I want to be used like that servant of God. I want to be this. I want to be that. So God will not give you the platform directly if you follow the pathways of God. If you don't follow the pathways of God and take the help of different evil spirits, you can skip. They will help you to skip the platform and still become what you wanted to become. But that place will be temporary for you. You will fall because it was not the hand of God which took you to that place. It was your own abilities. It was your own idea. It was your own decision that took you to that place. So God will not bestow protection over you when you go to that place. Hallelujah. So when you follow God and follow his pathway to reach to that destination, he will keep you in the cave. And before God gives you a ministry publicly, he will give you a ministry in the cave. Hallelujah. So we were looking at that, and I took a long time to teach you about things that happens in the cave. So I am not going to go into that. So that is the caves that signify the secret place, the hiding place where God trains his candidates who are going to take over nations. Okay, that cave signifies the secret place of God where God trains his candidates. Even as God works and operates in caves, even the devil has, there are demonic caves now. That is what I want to take tonight. Hallelujah. There are demonic caves, because most of the things then that happens through the secret operations of the satanic kingdom that happens in the caves. I was just praying the whole week. I was asking Lord, this Friday, what do you want to speak to us, Lord? And this is what was coming to my heart, to continue on the topic of caves and continue on the topic of demonic caves. One of the sisters then contacted me. She was having some dreams from our group, Sister Gloria, and she told me about her encounters in the demonic caves. And then even as I was praying yesterday and seeking the Lord, and I was going through reading articles, and there came an article a recent article, not an old one, just recent article which said that the archaeologist found a cave under the ground in Israel, which opens to the demonic world. And that is what they found, really, a cave under the ground that is a portal to the demonic world. So then I understood that let me, this is the right time, and this is the season where I need to teach on demonic caves. So that is what we are going to look at. Now, when you look at the Bible does not explicitly talks about demonic caves, but there are incidents in the Bible on which, if we meditate, when I started to meditate on those scriptures, the Holy Spirit started to teach me what happens, what are demonic caves actually, and what happens in these caves. Hallelujah. So, first of all, let me make a definition. Let me give you a definition of caves, of demonic caves, okay? And then we will go to the scripture. This definition has been drawn out of the scripture. So let me first give you the definition. The demonic caves are secret places of high demonic operations. The demonic caves are secret places of high demonic operations. Operations of manipulating the destinies of men, necromancy, territorial dominion. Okay? So the caves. The demonic caves are secret places of high demonic operations, operations of manipulating the destinies of men, necromancy, territorial dominion. Okay, so I want to start off with the caves, the demons in the caves that want to exercise territorial dominion. First of all, let us start off with that, because the first time the caves are mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter number 19. Genesis chapter 19. Let us first go into that scripture. Genesis chapter number 19, verse number 30 to 38. Okay. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him. For he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father." This is all happenings in a cave that is near Zoar, okay? They are inside a cave. So this is what is the suggestion of the daughters. This is what is the idea of the daughters. They want to sleep with the father to preserve the lineage of Lot, of their father. Verse 33. So they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, "Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus, both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. Hallelujah. You have to pay close attention, because it's not by fluke, it's not by chance that a baby is born, and the baby is not just a baby, the baby is a nation. A nation emerged out of the baby. There is supernatural intervention in the birth of the baby. Are we understanding? First of all, no one else, but it is the utterance of the Lord over a life of a human being. that can make him a nation. It is only the utterance of the Lord. Okay, are we understanding? So stay with me. Now, the scripture that we read, it says that they were in the caves near Zoar, and the daughters of Lot got an idea in the caves that let us. Now, the daughters of Lot were married, but the son and the husbands were left in Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember that? I don't have time. When you read the scripture, you will see that they were married, and Lot was trying to tell the son-in-laws, his son-in-laws, to leave the city. But the son-in-law did not believe Lot. So Lot left the city with the two daughters and the wife. The wife became a pillar of salt because she looked back. And in which ways, that's a different topic. But so Lot remained with only two daughters that were married in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were already married, but they did not have seed through their husband in Sodom and Gomorrah. Hallelujah. When they came in the caves, now the Bible says that they got an idea to sleep with their own father and to develop a seed, to develop a nation through the lineage of the father, through the seed of the father. Hallelujah. Okay. Are we understanding? Now you have got to understand. In the caves, demonic nations are birthed in the caves. Okay? Two demonic nations, an enemy of God's people, originated in this cave. Write it down. Two demonic nations and enemies of God's people originated in this cave. A nation can be birthed with the supernatural utterance of God, and God gives his people dominion. Let's go to some verses. Genesis chapter number 25. Genesis chapter number 25, verse 22-23. It says, but the children struggled together within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Hallelujah. The utterance of God over Jacob and Esau. Jacob was not only a baby. When God looked at inside the womb, the Lord said, even before they were born, there are two nations. So people would look them at them as babies, but God gave the utterance that they are not only babies, they are two nations that will start, that will emerge on the face of the earth. They are two tribes. They are two nations. You see that? Hallelujah. Okay, Genesis chapter number 17. Stay with me. Genesis chapter number 17. And verse number 19 and 20. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. Hallelujah. These people in the beginning through Abraham. Now, the promise for the nation was given to Abraham that through his seed, the nations of the earth will be blessed. He will become the father of many nations. Now, whatever came out of his DNA brought out a nation. Whatever came out, are you listening, people of God? Whatever came out of his DNA brought out a nation. Even Lot was with him. And Lot was not fighting with him, or he never disobeyed him, but he had a good relationship. But because of the doings of God, because of the ways of God, God allowed them to be separated from each other. Hallelujah. So whoever was with Abraham, they carried the DNA to birth nations, to have dominion over nations, or to birth nations, or to be a territorial prince. Hallelujah. Whoever was with Abraham had that DNA in them. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Okay, now Satan, what he wants to do is, Satan looks for people who have been chosen by God, who have been blessed by God to be a blessing for the nations. Okay? Satan chooses people who have the keys of dominion, and he tries to manipulate their people, manipulate those people to get into their lineage, to get into their seed, so that through the gift of dominion and the promise of dominion that is given to that person, Satan can now exercise through his manipulation territorial dominion through the seed of a righteous man. Stay with me. Now, God made Adam, and then God made Eve, and God told them, have dominion. Be fruitful and multiply and flood the face of the earth. Have dominion. Everything has been given to you. Now what Satan wanted to do, the serpent wanted to do, is wanted to manipulate Eve and Adam so that he can get into their lineage, so that he can take away the keys of dominion from them. And they can use the gift and the promise given to them by God as an advantage and as a means of operation of dominion for his own self. That is what the serpent is interested in. Are we understanding? Okay? Hallelujah. So this is what is happening. In the caves, there are spirit that wants to exercise territorial dominion. And those spirits instigated these two daughters, these two girls, to sleep with the father, which is not allowed by God. It's a spirit of incest, which is not allowed by God. And through this sex that they had, through this intercourse that they had with the father, two demonic nations were birthed, which were lifelong the enemies of the nation of God or the people of Israel. Are we understanding until now? Okay, hallelujah. So let me go ahead. So one of the nation was Moab, and the other nation was Ammon. Let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter number 2. Now it was not God's will to give a seed to Lot, but if there is a seed that has been born by Lot, that is a man or a boy, that will have dominion, because the devil knew that this man carries the blessing, the DNA of birthing nations. Okay, hallelujah. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 2. And let's read. Now this is the chapter where God is giving instructions to Moses and Israel when they are coming out of Israel. He says chapter number 2 verse number 9, then the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given Ur to the descendants of Lot as a possession. You see that? So when people of Israel and Moses were coming out of Egypt, they went through different cities. They went through the cities of, you know, Esau. God said, don't go there. Then when they went through Moab, he said, don't harass them, because that land I gave as a inheritance to the descendants of Lot, Moab. Okay? Because Moab came from Lot. And because he carried my promise on him, I had to give him as a inheritance. And then it says, verse number 10. The Emim had dwelt there in the past, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. Anakim are a race of giants. Huge giants. Okay, stay with me. They were also regarded as giants like the Anakim, but the Moabites called them Emim. So the land that they possessed, giants used to live in that land. And when Moab was born, Moab mixed with the seed of the giants. And it developed later into a demonic nation. Now I will come to the giants. Okay. Now listen to me. The next verse is in the same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter number 2, verse number. Deuteronomy chapter number 2, verse number 18. This day you are to cross over at Ar, the boundary of Moab, and when you come near the people of Ammon, this is the second son born to Lot, second grandson born to Lot, that is Ammon. Near the people of Ammon, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession. That was also regarded as a land of giants. Giants formerly dwelt there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumim. Zamzumim, Zamzumim. Okay, hallelujah. These are giants. Now, these giants were born through spiritual sex. There is something that is called spiritual sex in the Bible. I will come to that. How they were born? Spiritual sex. When I say spiritual sex, it's not purely two human beings coming together. There is the involvement of a spirit or a fallen angel in that sex with a human being, or an involvement of a demon collecting the sperms from a man in that sex. Hallelujah. Listen to me, listen to me. The serpent targets people who have the blessing of God over their lives for nation. When you have to be very careful, like a mother who carries a baby in the womb for 9 months, she has to be careful with her life. She has to be careful with the diet. That is how, when God has spoken to you and told you that he will make you great, be careful from that time, because it has been announced in the realms of all the heavens, first, second, third heavens. It has been announced, and the demonic powers will start to look for you, to manipulate you so that they can get into your life and they can make use of the covenant of God in your life for their own benefit and the dominion of their own kingdom. By the way, Satan has no keys of dominion. Satan has not been given any authority to have dominion over the earth. The reason why the prince of the air is ruling over the face of the earth, because he manipulated a man of God, because he manipulated a woman who had been given the keys of dominion. That is the reason why Satan is ruling over the kingdoms of the earth. Are you understanding until now? Are we together? Okay, listen to me. Stay with me. That is the job of the serpent. By the way, I will come to that, because when Genesis introduces Satan, it does not say Satan came, it says the serpent came. Because Satan is the old serpent. Hallelujah. I will come to that when I come to the caves, the demonic caves in Gadarene. I will come to that. That is a very important topic. But let us first understand what is Satan looking for. Satan is looking for people who have keys to the nations. Yes, Satan is looking for people who have keys to the nation. There is something called as spiritual sex. Let me first come to spiritual sex. And so there are two nations, okay? What? Moab and Ammon. Moab and Ammon. Moabites and the Ammonites, which were birthed in that cave. So let me first come to Ammonites. Now, listen to me. I want to go to the scripture. So be very careful what I am saying from the scripture. Only then you will understand. The Ammonites mixed with the seed of Israel. And if they mixed with the seed of Israel, they started their seed. The seed of Israel and the seed of an Ammonite mixed together will always become a king. Will always become a seed that dominates, or someone who dominates. So let me, do you know who was the first wife of Solomon? Technically, I will show you that from the scripture. She was an Ammonitess, and her name was Naamah. How? I will show you that. Now turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 14. 1 Kings chapter number 14. Hallelujah. And verse number, first of all, 1 Kings chapter number 14, let me see. verse number 21. Okay? Let's read verse number 21 to 24. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. After Solomon had many sons and daughters. But out of them, who reigned? Rehoboam. Okay? Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. Underline that, people of God. Very important. I will come to that. 41 years old when he became a king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was what? Nama, an Ammonitess. Underline that. Underline. Okay. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed, more than all their fathers had done. Under the reign of Rehoboam, Judah started to sin. Now Israel and Judah were separated because Solomon started to worship other gods. You know that, right? So in the reign of Rehoboam, the idol worship increased. The worship of other gods increased. Verse number 23. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. Okay, let us skip all those things. So under the reign of Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon and this lady called Nama, Ammonitess, what happened? Judah started to sin terribly, started to worship demonic gods on high places at demonic altars, so on and so forth. Let another verse in the same chapter, verse number 31. Verse number 31. Again it says, so Rehoboam rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Nama, an Ammonitess. Then Abijam, his son, reigned in his place. Again, the Bible mentions his mother's name was Nama, the Ammonitess. It's not in the book of Kings and the Chronicles. It always does not mention the name of the mother. But the Bible here explicitly mentions that Rehoboam came from Nama. Rehoboam came from Nama, the Ammonitess. Now, I will tell you why does the Bible talks like that. Okay, first of all, let me take you to again the book of First Kings, the book of First Kings, chapter number okay, the book of First Kings, chapter number 11, chapter number 11, verse number 41. 1 Kings chapter number 11, verse number 41. It says, now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was what? Was 40 years. Was 40 years. Now, do the math calculation. Rehoboam's age was what? 41 years. And from what is the time from where, when Solomon started to reign? 40 years back. So Rehoboam, technically, when you do the math properly, okay, those who are good in maths would have caught the revelation. But if you do the math properly, that Rehoboam was born 1 year before Solomon became a king. That is the technical math that we see. That means, are you understanding? That means that Nama was married to Solomon before he became a king. Hallelujah. Now, that is why I always used to think when God used to speak with Solomon, you know, when he appeared to Solomon in a dream, he was asking for wisdom. Then he appeared to Solomon again when he built the temple and he said, my glory will be there. God was telling Solomon again and again that if you keep my commandments, only then I will be with you. And with the seed that comes to you, they will not lack the throne. They will always be on the throne of Israel, the seed that come through you because of my servant David. But if you start worshiping idols, so God already knew what Solomon is going to do, because Solomon was married to an Ammonitess whose name was Nama. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Now, Solomon had many other sons and daughters, but no one of them proceeded him as a king, but the son of an Ammonitess, that is Rehoboam. Do you see that? Okay. Now, what is this Nama? Nama is an ancient lady. Nama is an ancient lady who mixes with the seed of fallen angels, who introduced spiritual sex in the Bible, actually. That is Nama. And there was a spiritual assistant. There was a spiritual assistance from the spirit of this Nama, from the spirit of the Nama, for the birthing of the baby Ammon in the cave where Lot and the daughters were. Okay, hallelujah. Stay with me. I am talking about spiritual sex. There is something called as spiritual sex that the devil uses to mingle with the seed of men, and especially with the seed of people who are been blessed by God. People don't talk about it, but there, if you are a man of God, if you are a woman of God, you would have seen a dream where you were having sex, or dream of sexual, because that is what they do in the night time. Listen to me. Hallelujah. Stay with me. I'm talking about spiritual sex that happens in the realms of the spirit, and you are unaware of it. Without your conscience, it happens. When Lot was not in his conscience, he was made drunk. He was made to be drunk with wine. And then without his conscience, without his approval, they had sex. That is called spiritual sex. That happens when people sleep in the night. And you see that you are having some sexual contact with someone or a demon or something. Hallelujah. Because in the time of the night, through necromancy, through the spirits in the cave, they use the sperms of men. Hallelujah. For the birthing of an evil generation. It all happens in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. It's very difficult. I know it's from the Bible, but it's very difficult for me to release it to people. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, tonight we will understand those things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay? Stay with me. Are we understanding? Okay. So Nama, the Ammonite, we are talking about one of the nation that birthed in the cave. Okay? That is the Ammon. And I am telling you that Ammon comes from a link that is coming from the spirit of Nama. And the spirit of Nama is very, very advanced in performing spiritual sex. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter number 4. I have taken this, okay? Genesis chapter number 4. The bloodline of Cain, the generation of Cain. Okay, there was someone born in the generation of Cain in Genesis chapter number 4, whose name was Lamech. Okay, the same people in the generation of Cain, the names. Now Lamech here in the generation of Seth was the father of what? Noah. So a deliverer, a savior was born. But from this Lamech of Cain, same names. Because the devil counterfeits the bloodline of God, the seeds of God. That is what the devil does. He is copying and counterfeiting the seed of God. Now, listen to me. Here in Genesis chapter number 4, verse number 18. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mehujael, and Mehujael begot Methushael, and Methushael begot Lamech. Okay? Then the Bible concentrates on Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jubal. He was the father of those who dwell in the tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute. Jubal. Now the children that were born to Lamech. Lamech continued the murders of Cain. When you read ahead. The children. Jubal was what? He was a wanderer, a vagabond. Jubal was a musician. Both of them were born to propagate satanic characters. Satan was a vagabond when he was thrown on earth. He wandered. That is what the character and the ministry of Satan was carried out by Jubal. Jubal became a musician. Satan has a strong influence through music because he was himself carrying the instruments on his body when he was in the throne room of God. So he has a very profound and very excellent gift of music. Okay? Hallelujah. He was a singer, he was a worshiper, a musician in the throne room of God. That is what Jubal was carrying out. Then the other two children from Zillah, verse number 22. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. This Tubal-Cain was the person who started to give rise to construction workers and through the build to the building of the buildings. Every time that people on earth wanted to reach God in the town of Babel, they build a tower of Babel to reach. So they were into construction working. Hallelujah. What were Israel doing in Egypt? They were under the taskmasters building cities for Pharaoh, Ramesses and Pithom. Hallelujah. So this demonic people are always involved in construction workers. This is the root of Freemasons, by the way. Tubal-Cain is the root. I don't have time to show you all those things. But then that was the first child from Zillah, and the second child was a sister, was the sister of Tubal-Cain, was Naama. Naama. You see that? Now this Naama was responsible to teach women how to attract fallen angels to sleep with them. I don't have time. You read, go and research on Naama, okay? Everything I cannot show you, but go and research on Naama. Naama, the meaning of Naama is beautiful or adorable. You know, it's related to actually beauty, the meaning of Naama. Now, this Naama, the spirit of Naama developed from this Naama, the daughter of Lamech. And what this daughter started to do is, this girl, this woman started to introduce this theory or introduce this training and teaching how to attract demons and fallen angels so that women can have sex with them. Hallelujah. That is what gave rise to what happened in Genesis chapter number 6. See what happened in Genesis chapter number 6 is, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw, these are the fallen angels who saw the daughters of men, they were beautiful. It is another word for Naama. They were attracted to this woman who had the spirit of Naama. Oh my God, are you understanding? Okay. Hallelujah. Stay with me. So they saw the daughters of men, fallen angels were attracted to Naama's beautiful woman, adorable woman, beautiful woman. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now, verse number 4 says, there were giants on the earth in those days and also afterwards when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. That is called spiritual sex. When a fallen angel has sex with a human woman, that is called spiritual sex. When a fallen angel or a demon has sex with a man, which is called spiritual sex. That is the spirit that influenced the two daughters in the cave through which Ammon was born. Hallelujah. Are you understanding now? Okay, hallelujah. So what happens in the cave? What happens in the cave is the spirits, the demons that dwell in the cave are the demons and the spirits that exercise territorial dominion. That is where I started, the first point. Demons and hallelujah. Are you understanding? So that is called what? Spiritual sex. Where a fallen angels, and that is what then Moab started to dwell in the place where Anakim was, where that Zazumites, I don't know the name, it's very big. You know, in Ammon, the Zazumites or something in the Bible. So, and in Moab, there were the Anakim, and in Ammon, there were the Zazumites and all those giants that were dwelling. They were whose seed? They were the seed of Naama. Which giants that were born through what? Spiritual sex. And then when Moab was birthed, because giants by themselves cannot exercise dominion. No one has the key of dominion. because they were birthed through fallen angels. So are you understanding the operation of the enemy? That's why the devil, the Satan wanted a seed from Lot to go and start to mingle with the giants in Moab and mingle with the giants in what? Ammon, which is now called Ammon, so that those territorial princes can now have dominion through the seed of Lot. Hallelujah. Should I continue? Are you understanding? Or should I? Hallelujah. Amen. So, caves. Let us. Okay. If you still don't believe in something called a spiritual sex, let me give you another verse from the Bible. Genesis, hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 31. Verse number 5. It says, it is about Jacob, okay? It says verse number 5, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. This is Jacob speaking to his wife about Laban. Okay. And you know that with all my might I have served your father. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. If he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streaked. Now, what was Laban trying to do is, Laban said, the speckled are looking weak. So, if I want to give wages to Jacob, let me give this flock of speckled that are not proper. They will not multiply. But when Laban gave that flock of the speckled to Jacob, they started to multiply. So Laban did not know what to do. From where it was happening? It was happening through sex in the spiritual realms. See this. It says, so this is what Jacob is explaining. Whenever your father gave me speckled, thinking that he will deceive me, the speckled started to multiply. Now he took away speckled, gave me streaked, the streaked started to multiply. Then he says a mystery. Verse number 9. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Verse number 10. Very important. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. He saw in a dream, in the realms of the spirit, that those animals which were having sex were speckled. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? There is something called as spiritual sex. People don't understand that. Hallelujah. Don't ignore dreams where you see yourself having sex with a demon and your sperm is going in that demon. Get up from that dream and you need to pray. Hallelujah. Even women, don't ignore a dream where someone came to you in the dream and slept with you. You need to get up and pray, because the devil is manipulating the destinies of the seed that should come through you to be used for his own benefit and his kingdom. Spiritual sex, the spirit of Nama. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Now Moab. Now this is about Ammon. Okay. Now that's why Nama mingled with Israel. That is Solomon. Nama and Solomon. Solomon married Nama. And the seed of from both of them, the mingled seed, Rehoboam, started to reign over the face of Israel. Hallelujah. So these were the enemies of Israel all the time. Ammon and Moab. Moab, one of the things, I don't have time, a lot of time to talk about Moab. But do you remember where Moab is mentioned and most of the people in the book of Ruth? Hallelujah. When you read the book of Ruth, let's go to the book of Ruth. So let me cover Moab and let me go to the functions and to the activities that happens inside the caves after that. Let us first go to the book of Ruth. Hallelujah. The book of Ruth. Chapter number 1. chapter number 1, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He belonged to God. They were dwelling in the house of God. That is, Bethlehem is the house of God, the meaning of the name Bethlehem. But what they decided, let's go to what? Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Now what is happening to this family is not something physical or medical. What is happening to this family is spiritual. Okay, hallelujah. Now you see and you study the pattern of death. Look at the pattern of death. First of all, when this family came with the two sons, the husband died. Okay, the two sons were alive. But what happened is these two sons got married to the Moabites, to the women of Moab. After they got married, they also died. So when people of God, that is not by chance, that is not a coincidence. There is a spiritual curse, there is a spiritual economy that has caused the death of this man. Because there was a curse on this territory of Moab against men that came from Israel, and men who got married died there. Why? Because Moab himself was not born out of a husband. So there is no existence of a man to a woman in the birth of Moab. Moab came from the father of the daughter. Are you understanding? So that, are you understanding? That kind of a unlawful sex gave birth to a curse in the land of Moab. Hallelujah. That any married man in woman, in Moab, because that is why when the sons got married, they died, but the woman did not die. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. Okay. Oh God, hallelujah. The married man Elimelech died, hallelujah, when he came to Moab, and then the sons were alive. When the sons got married, after that they also died. So whenever a person gets married, a man from Bethlehem, a man that is a seed of Israel and dwells in Moab, that is the economy. And because Naomi did not have spiritual intelligence, she was the one who initiated the journey to Moab. And she initiated the journey because, not because God told her, because she heard other people saying that there is food in Moab. So let's shift from Bethlehem. She left the house of God to go in this land of Moab. Are we understanding? Any which ways, that is what is Moab, that was born in the cave. Hallelujah. That was born in the cave. Ammon and Moab, they were born in the caves with the instigation of demonic spirits in the cave, which wanted to use the seed of the righteous Lot as a benefit for them to have dominion over a territory called Moab and Ammon. Are we understanding? Shall we go to the next point now? So let's go to the next demonic cave, the cave in Gadarene. Very important, the cave in Gadarene, So most of you know the cave in Gadarene. Mark chapter number 5. Hallelujah. Mark chapter number 5. Let's read verse number 1 to 20. Okay, listen to me. I am reading 20 verses, so it will be long. And then we will read the parallel verse of it in Luke chapter number 8. First, let us read Mark chapter number 5, verse number 1 to 20. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. That tombs is a cave. As soon as he went there, out of that cave came a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. He used to live in those caves. Okay? And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackle broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Underline that verse number 5. It is very important. This is the activities he was doing. What he was doing? Crying out, breaking the chains, breaking the shackles. Supernatural power and strength he had. Then he was crying out and he was cutting himself. These were the activities he did. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, Come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter him. Okay, then Jesus sent them to the swine, so on and so forth. Let us go also to Luke chapter number 8. The parallel verse, Luke chapter number 8, to get details of what was happening there. Luke chapter number 8. Verse number 26 onwards. Verse number 26, then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, underline that. This gives an additional detail that what? He was naked in the caves. He was naked in the caves. He wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. He lived in the caves. Are we together? He lived where? In the caves, and he was dwelling naked in the caves. We have to look to those activities that this man was doing to understand what demons do inside caves, in the secret places. Okay, hallelujah. So then it says, when he saw Jesus, verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with shackles and chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Okay? Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Hallelujah. So the same thing, there was a herd of swines, and they begged him. They begged Jesus to send them to the bodies of the swines. Now, listen to this. Before we go into the encounter of Jesus with this demonic person that used to live in the caves, if you study the verses before Jesus went to Gadarene, there was a storm that was hindering Jesus to go to the other side of the water. Because Gadarene was on the other side of the waters of the lake. Are we together? Okay, listen to me. Gadarene was on the other side of the lake. So before Jesus went to Gadarene, storms and waves of the sea were attacking Jesus and his disciples. Hallelujah. Because what the demonic spirits in the cave do is, they don't want to allow Jesus and his servants to come to those places. Write it down. Okay? They don't want what? Jesus and the servants of Jesus, the servants of God, to come inside the cave. If a servant of God, anointed by God, steps to that cave, the demonic operations in that cave will be shattered. I will come to that. Okay? That's why, first of all, the storms and the winds that came against Jesus was not weather problem. It was stirred up by the gatekeepers and the military defense of the spirits of the caves. Hallelujah. Because if there is a cave, demonic cave, where demonic operations are happening. The demonic cave has assigned military defense of demons and guards and gatekeepers who will keep a watch to see if whether any servants of God or servants of Jesus who not allow them to come there. Hallelujah. Okay, stay with me. So Jesus was hindered by that storm, by that wind before he came, but Jesus commanded that storm to be still. I don't have time. Read your Bible afterwards. Okay, the verses before it, about before the gathering thing, you will see Jesus commanded the storms to be still, to be at peace. And the disciples marveled, and after that they landed up in the Gadarene, that was on the other side of the water. When they landed in Gadarene, first of all, how Jesus delivered him, you know, you all know. But let me bring to your notice about the activities that the man was doing inside the cave. As per Mark chapter number 5 and Luke chapter number 8. Point number 1, what he was doing is, Mark chapter 5, verse number 3 and 4. Don't go there. We have already read that. It says that he had uncontrollable power. That is the first thing he was doing. He had uncontrollable power, so no one could bound him in chain or keep him at one place. He had uncontrollable power to break the chains and again to go in the caves, again to go in the wilderness, because the demons gave him power to come inside the cave again. People would bound him in chain and shackles so that he does not roam around in the wilderness and in the caves. But he will break those chains and again go in the caves, because it was the power given to him by the demons, because the demons wanted that man to be in the caves. Why? I will tell you. Second thing, in verse number 5, Mark chapter 5, verse number 5, what he used to do is he used to make loud cries and sounds. He used to cry out there and used to make what? Loud cries and sounds. Okay. The third thing, in verse number 5, it says that he used to cut himself. That means he used to shed blood in the caves. He used to shed his blood in the caves. The fourth thing is, in Luke chapter number 8, verse number 27, he used to be naked in the caves. He used to be naked in the caves. Hallelujah. Now, these four things are the requirements of necromancy. You know what is necromancy? Necromancy is consulting with the dead. Okay, stay with me. Have you, those who are from India, have you seen the naked pandits who sit on the grave? They sit naked. They make sounds. They cut their bodies. They eat the flesh of the dead. These pandits in India, they live in the caves. They don't wear clothes. Do you know that, Indians? Hallelujah. I hope you know that. What they are doing in the caves, the spirit of the caves are using their bodies to carry out dominion and to carry out dark spells over territories. Hallelujah. Over territories, for territorial dominion, for the blinding of, hallelujah. Do you remember I told you about Chorazin and Bethsaida? All of them, they saw the mighty works of Jesus, but no one believed in Jesus. No one repented. The whole territory was blinded by some power. And that power comes from caves. And the way the power is operated is through the body of a human being. Through the body of a human being. Are we together? Listen to me. Stay with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, these are the four requirements to be fulfilled by humans for the spirit of the caves to operate through them and fulfill their agenda. Fulfill their agenda. This person, in reality, the man who was possessed with demons, he was in reality an evangelist. He was an evangelist of God, because when the demons were casted out, the Bible says he immediately came in his right mind and told Jesus, I want to go with you. But Jesus said, this city needs you now. So I appoint you and ordain you as an evangelist to this city of Gadarene. In reality, his destiny was to be an evangelist. His calling was to be an evangelist. But what he was doing, He was an insane man in the caves. So first thing that happens through these activities is the demons in the caves, through the dead bodies of the caves, they manipulate the destinies of men. They manipulate the destinies of men through the activities that happens in the caves, Oh my God. Listen to me. Listen, this is a true story. Okay. What I'm telling you, it's not a fable. It's not a, fiction story. It's a true story. Hallelujah. There was a man. Okay. This man is from Africa and he wanted to become rich fast. He wanted to become rich. So he was finding out ways to become rich, and someone introduced him to a person who was a necromancer, expert in necromancy. So he went to the person. So the person told him, not now, come to me naked in the graveyard in the night at 12 a.m. Come to the grave night 12 a.m. So he came naked to the graveyard in the night at 12 a.m. And the necromancy asked that person to sleep in the coffin box. So naked, he slept in the coffin box. When he slept in the coffin box naked, in the night, some spirits, weird demons, some demons had three heads, some demons had deformed shapes, weird demons started to come to him in the night. One of the demons, was coming close to his face and scrutinizing and observing him closely, as if that demon was interested in this person. Hallelujah. And when the sun rays came from the sky, before the sun rays came, the necromancer came, took him naked and took him to a room that was completely dark and told him to stay in the room. The job is not yet done. Stay in the room. So he was completely kept into the dark room. So he did not know light. He did not know it is how much is the time or what is the time and all those things. Again at 12 a.m. naked, he was brought to the grave in the coffin box. Again the spirits came and the same spirits started to observe him. Now people can die in that necromancy, but he did not die. Again he was brought back to the room. Again on the third day, the same spirit came and started to observe him. And then in the middle of the night, the necromancer came and took him to the consultation room. And the necromancer said, there is a spirit that has imparted to you a stone in your pocket or in the chest, I don't know, in the body. And the spirit has bought you. And the spirit is interested to use you and give you prosperity and fame. Hallelujah. If you keep that stone in you, wherever you go, you will prosper. And this is real. Listen to me. And the spirit's counsel to this man was, there are two ways that you can become prosperous. One of the way is you become a man of God and open a church. People with, Do you know, they say, this man said that major percentage of the pastors in Africa have become pastors through the powers of necromancy. He said there are two ways you can become prosperous and have fame. The first way, the counsel of the demon was to this man, become a pastor, hold the Bible, read some verses, preach. Whatever you preach, whatever nonsense you preach, people will come and give you money. And the second way is become a businessman and you will be the wealthiest businessman. So because this man was afraid of God, he did not choose the first. He chose the second. He said, I want to become a businessman. And he became one of the most richest men. Through what? Through necromancy. Do you know the caves hold the treasures of the wicked? And the necromancer will tell you, if you want to get rich, there is a lot of wealth that is in the graves. Do you know Matthew's? Okay. I don't have time now. I want to go with the flow. Acts chapter number 1 verse 18 and 19. Matthew's 27 verse 7 and 8. You know what happened with the money with which Judas betrayed Jesus? With that money, a graveyard was purchased. And the wealth that he acquired by betraying Jesus was put in that grave. So people who are wicked and who die before they complete their destiny or before becoming rich, as they were supposed to become rich, their riches are being buried with their bodies. And these spirits, you, oh my God, money is not physical. Money is spiritual. Mammon is not physical. Mammon is spiritual. And a necromancy will tell you better things than a pastor. He knows the wealth is in the grave. Because the spiritual wealth that the person was supposed to accumulate, and if he does not accumulate that and dies before it, when his dead body goes to the grave, his destiny and his wealth goes to the grave with that. Hallelujah. That is what happened with Judas. His money, he did not use the money. He died, and the money went with him to the field. That is the field of blood, Akeldama, with which he purchased that field. As per Acts, Matthew says a different story that the Pharisees purchased the grave. We don't know, but there are two details given in the Bible. Any which ways, I am trying to explain to you, hallelujah, that the wealth and destinies of people are in the what? In the caves. Hallelujah. Amen. Major, you don't know that. You see, the pastor is preaching ABC. Many of his doctrines are not even true. The pastor does not even knows the Bible completely. The pastor is not even matured. He does not even shows character, but he has a mega church. Those powers came from the caves. Oh my God, hallelujah. Are you understanding, people of God? These are the activities. That's why this person was naked. Naked in the what? If the demonic spirits wants to use a person in the cave and operate through the person has to be naked. The person has to be naked. You know why? Because the person has to become one like the dead people buried in the cave, naked. Hallelujah. That is one thing. That's why he was naked. The demons kept him without clothes. Hallelujah. The demons gave him uncontrollable power because the demons wanted him to go around and to cry out, to release sounds in the atmosphere. That was the utterance of demons in the atmosphere. That will cover the territory with darkness through the spells coming from the cave. The Bible says he was crying out. He was making loud noises, that means. And thirdly, he used to shed his blood. Hallelujah. I took a sermon last few weeks, I think to a week back, about the revelation of human blood. And then I took the revelation of the blood of Jesus also in that same sermon. The revelation of human blood. The blood carries life as per the book of Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. And anything that needs to be done on earth, it happens with the agreement of the water, of the blood, and a spirit, a demon. Anything that happens in the third heavens happens with the agreement of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the agreement of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit cannot be implemented on the face of the earth because the earth is ruled by three elements: blood, water, and spirit. Hallelujah. So unless there is shedding of blood, there cannot be the implementation of the plans and the blueprint that demons have made. So that's why he shed blood in the cave. He used to cut himself, used to cut himself and shed blood there. That is what those pandits do in India, in the caves, on sitting on the graves. They cut themselves. They are naked. What they are doing there? They are becoming a conduit to the spirits of the grave and of the caves. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people? The influence of the influential people, the power of the influential people are in the caves. When you read Joshua chapter number 10, verse 16 to 27, read it afterward. Joshua 10, 16 to 27. It talks about five kings who were buried in the caves of Makkadah by Joshua. They were five kings, and Joshua killed them, hanged them on a tree. And in the evening, the dead bodies he brought, and the cave they were hiding in, he buried inside the cave. So what these demons do is, Money is spiritual. That is what you have to understand. Wealth is spiritual. Influence is spiritual. All these things are spiritual. And if a person has been killed or smitten by God and judged by God, and he goes to the grave without accomplishing the influence or the wealth, those things stay in the spirit there. And the demons use the wealth of the wicked, the influence of the wicked now, who are dead in the caves, who are dead in the tombs, through the operation of necromancy, to manipulate territories. Are we understanding? Demonic caves. But the Bible says Jesus went to that cave. Jesus went to that cave. Hallelujah. If you are interested, I want to share. I have went to several caves in the realm of the spirit and destroyed satanic stronghold. If you are interested, I will tell it. If you are not, I will not tell it, because I can release it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Tell it.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus went to the cave, and he shattered the demonic operations by delivering that man. Hallelujah. You are a man of God, but you are behaving as an insane man. You are behaving as something else, because your destiny, your character has been manipulated by demons that come from the cave. Destinies of people are manipulated. You are supposed to have that job. You are supposed to do that thing. But whatever you are doing, you are not able to reach there. That is also called as a near miracle syndrome, because some necromancer in the cave is holding your destiny captive, manipulating you from the cave. And Jesus went there and delivered them. Once I had a visitation in the realms of the spirit. This was not even a dream. I went to that place. Okay, listen to me. That place was like a resort garden, and there was a pathway to walk upon, and I was walking on that pathway. It was not completely dark, it was a little dark, and I was walking on the pathway. When I was walking on the pathway, a person who was dressed like a watchman came running to me, and he was so anxious, so eager to tell me something. He came to me, running to me, and as soon as he was so eager, he started to say something. But something like a police vehicle came from behind me, and two people stood up, one with a camera, one with a notepad, to note the name of the person. When the person saw those police officer behind me, he ran away. And I said, what nonsense? Why these people are scaring these people away who wants to give me some information? Those were the guard keepers. Okay, let me come to the interpretation afterwards. So thinking that, I started to walk towards another place inside the garden. Then inside the garden, I started to go to a decline. And when I reached nearly to the end of the decline, I saw a hole in the ground, which had stairs inside the ground. When I went inside the ground through the stairs, after four or five steps I took down, I stepped on something that looked very black, like a black fox. Black fox. As soon as I stepped on that fox or that animal, the animal jumped and started to run down. I was not afraid there, and I started to follow the animal running down through the steps. I saw the animal reached to a very narrow tunnel down the ground, and that animal, that black fox, started to run through that tunnel. When it started to run through that tunnel, there was some light in the tunnel, that small tunnel. And I saw that it became a small demon. It looked back at me. It wanted to come back to me and punch me or something. But it was as if that demon was eager and was very, wanted to go somewhere very fast. So he looked back at me very angrily. And then it went back under the hole through the tunnel. And then there were some children at the gate of the tunnel, and the two boys, two little children, and the children were saying, oh, what did you do with that person? I said, nothing. I stepped on it, and I think something is weird there. But oh, that demon can kill you, and that person can kill you. They did not know it was a demon. And those two children at the gate of the tunnel, small tunnel, inside that underground steps, small tunnel, they started to talk to me. They had no idea. I thought, how these people have no idea when they are guarding the tunnel, the gate of the tunnel. And then suddenly, even as we were talking, I think that demon reached where it had to reach, under the ground. And suddenly there was an earthquake in the tunnel. And the lights were going on and off, like in the horror pictures. It was literally like that, on and off. And I saw the photos of gods and goddesses on the walls of the tunnel. And I saw blood coming through those photos, through those images. And the blood was coming and touching my feet and those two boys' feet. When it touched our feet, our feet stuck to the walls of the tunnel. And we were not able to move. We were not able to move. And then the boys panicked. They said, we will die, we will die. I also sense we will die there. But then the Lord spoke to me. The Holy Spirit told me, be still. Don't panic, don't move. And then I became still physically. I was not moving my leg to bring it out of the tunnel wall. So when I kept it still, automatically my leg was detached from the tunnel wall. And I told the same to those boys. And their legs were detached from the tunnel wall. And then I realized that there is something inside, and then I came out of the realm of the spirit after that happened. Now, I got up and I started asking the Holy Spirit, what is the meaning of this encounter? What is the meaning of the encounter? The Lord told me, it's a territory that are governed by spirit that are under the cave, under the ground in the caves. And there is no permission for anyone to go there. That is the root, that is the stronghold from where they are operating. The person who came to you, who was wearing a watchman's dress, that person is an intercessor and a watchman over that territory. But the person has been oppressed by this demonic power. And these demonic powers are monitoring him and not letting him pray so that the powers can be defeated. And then when I went to the underground tunnel, the Lord said that fox was a gatekeeper of the tunnel who went with the news that you had come to the demons who were operating in the caves. He went with the news. He ran with the news. That's why he was in a hurry. And then I said, who were the two children? The Lord told me these two children were the Christians who are the so-called gatekeepers in that territory from churches. And they are child. They are children and not matured in the spirit. That's why you saw them as children. They had no spiritual knowledge and they don't have the knowledge. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. Amen. There are caves. There are caves under the ground. There are demonic operations that happen under the ground. I told you recently, now just yesterday, they gave the news that they have discovered caves under the ground of Israel, which is a portal to the demonic world. Hallelujah. And if we need to take over territories, we need to be like Jesus, going to the caves of gathering and shattering and destroying the demonic operations that were happening there in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? No, 90% of Christians don't know about these things. And if people don't know about these things, you are assigned at the position of a gatekeeper for a territory. If you are there in Canada, if you are there in Atlanta, in New York, in whichever place from India, from Africa, or whatever place from Kenya, you are assigned there as a gatekeeper and you cannot be a child there. Hallelujah. They did not even recognize the demon as a threat to them, those children that were there in the gate, whom I met. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Okay, that is what happens in the caves. Well, that is what happens in the caves. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Through the tool of necromancy that happens in the grave, necromancy that happens in the cave, the destinies of people are held. Yes. The caves hold the destiny of people. The cave hold the finances of people. The caves hold what people are supposed to become. Hallelujah. The caves hold all those things. by the demons they hold all those things, by necromancers, by such people whom the demons used, hallelujah, to shed blood, to be naked, to dwell in the cave. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, let every hidden works of darkness be exposed tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Let every hidden works of darkness be exposed tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Oh Lord, I pray that we will rise like you, Jesus, and we will know which place to go. Jesus did not go to Gadarene to do a ministry and to gather people. He went to Gadarene to destroy the demonic operations that happened inside the cave. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that he will open to us the treasures that are hidden in darkness. He will break the gates of bronze and the bars of iron, and he will take us to the hidden places. And I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you will equip your people, Lord, hallelujah, to break demonic caves in Jesus' mighty name. Demonic caves that hold their destiny, demonic caves that hold their marriage, demonic caves that hold their ministry, demonic caves that hold their finances. Hallelujah. I release the fire to penetrate, expose, and destroy the operations having there right now. Every necromancer, I pray that the fire of the of God will be released there in Jesus' mighty name. Spirits in the cave, spirits of Nama, spirits of demons that wants to use the seed of men and women to their own benefit, Lord, by having spiritual sex. I bind those spirits right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Every spirits operating through caves, we release fire of God over them. Fire of God to consume them. Those spirits be tormented right now in Jesus' mighty name. Rosa Katarabanda. May Allah. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Now, you see that when Jesus came there, the spirits, the legion of demons inside the body, begged Jesus to send them what? Not to the abyss, but to the swines. Now, you got to realize that. Remember Genesis. I was telling you about Genesis, chapter number 3. It does not say the devil came, it says a serpent came. Because from the beginning, the devil was operating through the body of an animal. The devil can possess the body of an animal without the permission of the animal. You have to understand that. Yes, the animal does not need to give permission or open a gate for the devil to come in. The devil can automatically possess an animal. But they can possess an animal easily. The question is, then why they want to possess human beings? Because they can possess the animal without any problem, but they don't prefer to stay in animals because through the body of an animal, they cannot exercise dominion. They can only exercise dominion and authority through a human body. Hallelujah. So, that's, are you understanding? The devil was a serpent, that's why, from the beginning. Because he was in a serpent. He was a serpent, inside a serpent. But for him to come inside Eve and Adam, he needed to deceive Eve and Adam so that they can willfully open the gate of their life for the devil to come in. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's why they asked Jesus to send them to the swines, and they possessed the swines. I have went to several houses where I knew the dog they had was a demon, had a demon in them, in him. Hallelujah. I also met a family, and by the Spirit of God, the Lord told me they were not having baby. Now, whenever I used to pray for that lady, the lady used to feel and the fire of God in her womb to conceive. The lady used to feel something forming in her womb, but she never conceived because they had two dogs who used to eat up the eggs spiritually. Because this lady used to address the dogs as son and daughter. My son, my daughter. And that's why she could not conceive. Are you understanding? Hallelujah. Nowadays, I'm telling you, the devil can possess animals, dogs, cats very easily. Oh my God, I went to another house and they had a dog. And the spirits used to come and torment the lady in the house. And then I prayed and I told her, this dog is the reason. But they were too attached to the dog. They were not ready to let the dog go. But she continued in the torment. And then at last they obeyed me. They said, we cannot take this torment, let the dog go. When the dog went, the spirit stopped to come. The dog was the carrier of the spirits. Hallelujah. So the devil can easily come in a animal. And then it's a history that through the animal, the devil possessed a man. That the devil possessed human beings. Oh God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, every person out here, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. No other spirit can rule over us. Lord, we open every gate to demonic spirits nowadays that wants to anyhow get inside to carry out satanic agendas. Oh, hallelujah, in Jesus' mighty name. God is looking for sons and daughters of consecration who can be completely consecrated for Him. I'm telling you, this is the season. Where God is not looking for miracle workers. He is not looking for preachers. He is looking for people who are completely sold to Him. Completely consecrated for Him. So that they can be the pure vessels, holy vessels that God can use for His kingdom. And that is what the Lord is doing through this ministry. He is raising up sons and daughters of consecration in Jesus' mighty name, who will rise to defeat the cave operations of the demoniacs in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, we want to give you all the glory, honor, and praise by your blood, Lord, with the rod, the authority, and in the name of Jesus, I release deliverance and detachment from every caves that are holding your people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We'll meet again. Sister Kay will announce for the meetings.
It's hard if my voice speaks to